together with me, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 2, as I read. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, we'll get to this in a minute, but usually when I think of a feast, I think of a big meal, like Thanksgiving with all the trimmings and so on. That's what I think of as a feast. Well, that's not really the word here, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But speaking of big meals, the elderly pastor was invited for family dinner after church one Sunday. The pastor and the family's young son were waiting in the living room. Well, making conversation, the pastor asked the boy what they were having for dinner. The boy said, "We're having goat." The pastor was surprised and asked the boy if he were sure they were having goat. The boy said, "Yes, I heard Mommy tell Daddy we might as well have the old goat for dinner this Sunday." So let's look at let's feast. Looking first of all at the feast. Now in Hebrew, that word feast means appointed times. So it doesn't, that word that we think of a big meal, that's actually not what it means. It means appointed times. And so let's look at these different appointed times from Leviticus 23. First of all, there was Passover, mentioned in verse 5, what I call commemoration. It was held the 14th day of the first month of Abib. That would be March to April on our calendar today. And what the Passover was, it was commemorating the Exodus from Egypt, which occurred in Abib. Now, originally, you probably know the story, a lamb was slain and eaten, and its blood was painted on the people's doorposts. Subsequent to that original Passover, a lamb was slain and eaten, but the blood was not painted on the doorpost. The lamb's blood was placed on the altar in either the tabernacle or later on in the temple. So that was the first feast or appointed time. The second one is called unleavened bread, what I was talking to the children about just a few minutes ago. This I'm calling continuation. It was held on the 15th day of the first month of Abib, again March to April on our calendar. Essentially, it was a continuation of Passover for 7 more days. And it was commemorating the haste with which the Hebrews that were thrust out of Egypt, when they were thrust out of Egypt, it was commemorating that they didn't have time to put the leaven and wait for the bread to rise and so on. The third appointed time or feast that is mentioned is first fruits in verse 10. This I'm calling celebration. It was held the 16th day of the first month, Abib. Again, March to April on our calendar. Celebrating the initial harvest. Thanking God that he had provided and trusting God that he would continue to provide. This festival is all about honoring God with the first and the best. I talked about this a few weeks ago, but so often we give God our leftovers. We don't always give him our first. We don't always give him our best. We give him our leftovers. We give him our time if we have any time left over. We give him our talents if we have any talents left over. We give him our treasures if we have any treasures left over. And as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we give plenty of time to TV. We give plenty of our talents to our employers and our teachers. We give plenty of our treasure to Walmart. But why is it that we only give God our leftovers? God desires, God deserves, and God demands our first and our best. So we've seen Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. The next one from verses 15 and 16 is Pentecost. Pentecost, what I'm calling appreciation. It was held the 6th day of the 3rd month of Sivan. Again, May to June in our calendar. Now, you might wonder why is he saying May to June or September, October? Why? Well, the Hebrews operated on a lunar calendar. They used the moon. We operate on a solar calendar. And so that's why our months and their months don't quite mesh up every time. That's why. But anyway, Pentecost was held May to June on our calendar. It was also called the Feast of Weeks. It was held 50 days after Passover. It was a one-day joyous celebration of God's provision. Well, the next one mentioned is in verse 24. That's the Feast of Trumpets. It was held the first day of the 7th month of Tishri, September, October on our calendar. It occurred in the fall of the year. It was also known as Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah in Hebrew means head of the year, head of the year. This was the beginning of the Jewish civil new year. And it was celebrated by the blowing of trumpets or horns. Well, the next feast is in verse 27. That's the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was held on the 10th day of the 7th month of Tishri, September to October on our calendar today. The Day of Atonement in Hebrew is Yom Kippur. You may have seen on your calendar, when you get a calendar and you look in the fall of the year, it's like, what is Yom Kippur? What does that even mean? Well, that means Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement. Now, the word atonement means covering. And so the definition of this covering, this atonement, is an act by which God restores a relationship of harmony and unity between himself and humanity. Let me say that again. This atonement, this covering, is the act by which God restores a relationship of harmony and unity between himself and humanity. Why does he need to restore this relationship? What happened to it? Human sin destroys that relationship, and so God restores the relationship. The Day of Atonement was the highest, holiest day of the year for the Hebrew people. The high priest, and only the high priest, was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. Now, here's a very rough sketch of whether you're talking about the tabernacle or later on the temple. There's a holy place there, and the priest could go in and out there all day long. But the Holy of Holies, only one person could go in there, only one day out of the year. It was the high priest, and only on the Day of Atonement could he go in there. Now, I'm sorry, I got away from myself. I was looking at the wrong place. And so the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would place blood on the mercy seat to atone for all of the people. Now, the mercy seat, that word means place of atonement. And the mercy seat was the covering of the Ark of the Covenant. So you probably heard about the Ark of the Covenant. Maybe even you saw Indiana Jones, and they had the Ark of the Covenant there. Well, the top of it, the covering, that was the mercy seat. And so that was kept in the Holy of Holies, and the high priest, only he, and only on this one day, the Day of Atonement, he could go in there and he could put blood on the place of atonement or the mercy seat. And then there was an offering that was to be made on the Day of Atonement. First of all, from verse 11, we see a bull for a sin offering for himself and his family. So the high priest, he had to atone for himself and his family with a bull. And then verse 3 tells us he would use a ram for a burnt offering. And then he would have two goats. One is a sin offering for the people, that's in verse 15, and one called the scapegoat. And so with the scapegoat, if you look in verse 21, the high priest would confess the sins of the people on the head of the scapegoat. And then the scapegoat would be handed off to a chosen man to release into the wilderness. Now the symbolism here is very strong. One goat paid for the price of sin with its life. The other goat carried the sin away. But when you think about it, Jesus later on did both of these things for us. He paid the price for our sins on the cross, and then he carried our sins away. Well, the last feast that is mentioned here, and I know I'm rushing through them in verse 42, is called the Feast of Tabernacles, what I'm calling habitation. It was held the 15th day of the 7th month of Tishri, September, October on our calendar. The Hebrews were to live in booths or tents to commemorate their initial release from Egypt and also to commemorate their later 40 years of wandering through the wilderness. This feast is also called the Feast of Ingathering, celebrating the conclusion of the harvest. So anyway, these are the feasts from Leviticus 23, what God says, I want you to hold these feasts. I want you to hold these appointed times, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. Secondly, though, I want us to look at the fulfillments. The Hebrews did not know they were anticipating something or someone else. They were just being faithful and obedient to God. They read Leviticus 23. They said, well, God wants us to do this. God wants us to do that. So we're going to do it. They didn't realize they were anticipating something else. They didn't realize they were looking forward to someone else. They were just being obedient. Even so, the feasts were fulfilled by Jesus, starting with Passover. Jesus is our Passover. How do I know? Look what Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 5:7. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We know that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And his blood applied to our hearts removes God's judgment for our sin. Now, it's very interesting. If you read Exodus chapter 12, the details for the lamb that was to be slain on Passover are given there. And I want you to know that Jesus fulfilled the Passover lamb requirements from Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 tells us, first of all, it has to be slain during Passover season. Secondly, it has to be a lamb. Thirdly, it has to be without blemish. Fourthly, it has to be a male. Fifthly, it has to be in its prime. Sixthly, you have to eat the flesh of that lamb. Seventhly, you have to apply that lamb's blood to remove God's judgment. And lastly, eighthly, there can be no broken bones. When you go back over the story of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, he was sacrificed, crucified during Passover season. He was a lamb. In fact, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was without blemish. He was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. He was certainly a male. He was in his prime. He was somewhere around 30 years old. A lamb in his prime would be in its first year, but a human would be somewhere around 30. Yes, I'm beyond my prime. Okay, I am. You also had to eat the flesh of this lamb. Well, what did Jesus say the night before he was betrayed and crucified? He passed out the bread. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you, right? That's what he did. He had to eat the flesh of it. And then you have to apply the lamb's blood to remove God's judgment. Well, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says we take Jesus' lamb. It's applied to our hearts to remove God's judgment. And lastly, there are to be no broken bones on that lamb. You may recall when Jesus was hanging there being crucified, had a bad guy on either side of him. The soldiers came to hasten their deaths, and so they came to break their legs. And so they broke the legs of the one bad guy, they broke the legs of the other bad guy. They came to Jesus, they didn't break his legs because they said he's dead already. But the real reason they didn't break his legs is he couldn't be a Passover lamb if he had had any broken bones. And so the point is that Jesus fulfilled the Passover lamb requirements from Exodus chapter 12. And so Jesus is our Passover. What about unleavened bread? Well, as I told the children, leaven represents sin and bread represents life. Well, though tempted in every way, Jesus was sinless. He had no sin. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 4:15 says this, for we don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Not only that, but Jesus is the bread of life. Look what he said there in John chapter 6 and verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life. And so he fulfilled Passover, he fulfilled unleavened bread. What about this first fruits or Pentecost? Well, Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. Look here at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that slept. Not only that, but we know that on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved as the first fruits of the church. You probably remember reading about Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The Father sent the Spirit. The Spirit convicted the crowd of sin, and Jesus saved the crowd from their sin. 3,000, the first fruits of the church. But what about that Day of Atonement? We talked about Day of Atonement. Well, actually, Jesus made the Day of Atonement obsolete. He made it obsolete. The Day of Atonement was once a year, but Jesus' sacrifice was once for all. Look what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:10, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Again, the Day of Atonement, once a year, Jesus' sacrifice, once for all. The Passover, when Jesus died, effectively became the new Day of Atonement. But why did Jesus die on Passover instead of the Day of Atonement? You would think this one day where the high priest goes in there and atones for the sins of all the people, himself too, and the sins of all the people, you would think that would be the day on which Jesus would die, the Day of Atonement. But instead, Jesus died on Passover instead of Day of Atonement. Why? Well, the Day of Atonement was yearly. Passover was permanent. The Hebrews were never enslaved by Egypt again. Not only that, the Day of Atonement used bulls, rams, and goats. Passover used lambs. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now, you see, Jesus Christ made peace with God for eternity. He made peace with God for eternity. These earthly priests offered atonement perpetually. Jesus offered atonement in perpetuity. Look here at Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Again, the earthly priest offered atonement perpetually. Jesus offered atonement in perpetuity. Jesus provides permanent forgiveness through his personal sacrifice. Jesus died on that cross to pay for the sins of all who would believe. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And when anybody receives Jesus Christ as Savior, believing he died, was buried, and rose again from the dead for them, Jesus completely forgives them of their sins through his personal sacrifice. You can be saved. You can be forgiven today because of what Jesus did some 2,000 years ago. Well, there's one more feast, and that's the tabernacles. I want you to know that Jesus tabernacled among us. Jesus tabernacled among us. Look at this verse, John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to focus on this word dwelt. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Literally in the Greek, that word dwelt means tabernacled. So what this verse says is, and the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. To tabernacle means to live in a tabernacle. That's what it means, to live in a tabernacle. And remember, during the Feast of Tabernacles, people tabernacled in their yards. Well, Jesus, God's Son, tabernacled in a human body, and Jesus, God's Son, tabernacled in our yard, the earth. And so we've seen these feasts, all of these feasts. We've seen their fulfillments. Lastly, I want to look at the finale. The Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Ingathering have yet to be fulfilled. So of all those feasts I mentioned, Passover, Unleavened Bread, all that, there's two actually that haven't been fulfilled yet. And that's the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Ingathering. Not yet. But the Bible says Jesus actually will return with a trumpet blast. This is in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So Jesus will return with a trumpet blast. Now, when you look at the calendar, the Feast of Trumpets is followed closely by the Feast of Tabernacles, or Ingathering. So according to this verse here we see on the screen, what happens after the trumpet blast? Believers are gathered in or raptured to be with the Lord forever. So there's still two feasts yet to be fulfilled, the trumpets and the ingathering. Many believe Jesus will return in the fall of the year because of this. Again, the Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles, ingathering, those occur in the fall of the year. And because of that, people believe that when Jesus does return to fulfill these feasts, it will be in the fall of the year. By the way, we are almost in the fall of the year right now. But I submit to you, it doesn't matter when Jesus returns. He may return in the fall. He may return this fall. But I want you to know, it doesn't matter when Jesus returns. What matters is that you are ready when Jesus returns. Whether he returns today or tomorrow or next week or next year or 1,000 years from now, what matters is that you are ready for his return. And the only way to get ready is by grace through faith in him. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Trust that he died, was buried, and rose again from the dead for you. That is the only way to be ready for his return. Whether his return is right away or a long time from now, be ready. But let me ask the obvious question. Why were the other feasts fulfilled within the first century AD, but these last two are delayed? I mean, Passover, Unleavened Bread, all that stuff was fulfilled in the first century AD. So why were all of those fulfilled and yet there's these two that haven't been? Why the great delay? Well, we find the answer actually in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So why has he waited so long, even though he fulfilled everything else within the first century? The first answer is because God is patient. That word long-suffering means patience there. And so it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but he is patient toward us. And so one of the reasons there's been such this long delay is because God is patient. The second reason for the delay is that God is saving those who repent of their sins. God is saving those who repent of their sins. I mean, think about it. What if Jesus had fulfilled these last two during the first century or even the second century? Where would that leave us? We didn't even exist yet, okay? But because God is patient, because God is waiting for people to repent, he stretched this thing out for some 2,000 years. And so why? Why? Fulfilling everything else in the first century and still waiting for these two. God is patient and God is saving those who repent. And here's the thing. God will fulfill these final two feasts. He will fulfill the trumpets. He will fulfill the end gathering. But he's in no hurry. He has all the time to wait. But you don't. God has all the time. You don't have all the time. You have this life and this life only, and you don't know how long this life will last for you. So while God can wait as long as he wants, you better not wait, because you don't know how much time you have. And so here's what you must do now. Number one, repent of your sins. Number two, receive Christ as your Savior. And number three, reserve your place in heaven. Don't wait. Don't wait. God is waiting. God is patient. Because He's got time. You may have time. You may not have time. And so right now, my advice for you, repent of your sins. Receive Christ as your Savior. What do you mean by that? Believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, that He was buried for your sins, that He rose again the third day. Repent of your sins, receive Christ as your Savior, and you will receive, you will reserve your place in heaven. Nobody can do this for you. This is only something that you and God can do. Jesus will fulfill these final two priests, final two feasts, the trumpets and the ingathering, the rapture. He will fulfill them. When? Don't know. You need to be ready. I'm ready. By grace, I'm ready. You need to be ready. Repent of your sins. Receive Christ as your Savior. Reserve your place in heaven. So as we looked at Let's Feast today, we're looking at all the different feasts. We see they're detailed for us. I gave you all the references from chapter 23. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, Day of Atonement, tabernacles. Jesus fulfilled these, all but two. He fulfilled them. Those last two He will fulfill, though He hasn't yet. What's taking Him so long? God is patient, and God is saving those who repent. God has all the time. You and I don't. Repent of your sins, receive Christ as your Savior, and reserve your place in heaven. If you're here today, and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've heard about Him, you've thought about Him, but you never actually invited Jesus Christ into your heart. Right here, right now, right where you're sitting. Just believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again from the dead for you. That's where it all begins. You say, well, Brother Gary, I already believe that. I believed that for years and years and years. Well, then you've got a message to share with this lost and dying world. Because the day is coming where Jesus is going to fulfill those last two. The trumpet will blast. He will gather His to be with Him. That's a message we need to share with this lost and dying world. So the invitation today, receive Christ as your Savior. Having received Christ as your Savior, share Him with others. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this time to be together, to sing and to pray and to fellowship. And we just ask now that You would move in this time of invitation. If there's somebody here or somebody watching online who needs to be saved, give them grace and faith to believe right now. And Father, we pray also for those of us who are saved. May we be faithful to share Christ with others who desperately need it. Move in this time for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.